studies, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
How's it going, Higher Side Chatters? Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and digging myself an early grave here in sunny San Diego. I'm Greg Carlwood, and today we're going to dive deeper into the GC Math saga we discussed a few weeks ago with Dr. Doom, and this somewhat new understanding of the immune system and our body's relationship to disease. I find it fascinating, and I'm no expert, but there are people like today's guest, David Noakes, who are. It's a touchy subject because over a dozen doctors now who all seem to be associated with some of this knowledge we're going to talk about today have recently had their clinics raided by the agents of the power pyramid and lost their lives in several cases too. Are these really suicides and accidents, or is this cleanup from an empowering information leak that undermines the medical machine? It's tough to know the truth here for sure, but we can look at what we know about governments, multinational corporations, the mass media, and the Western medical system and try to deduce where we're going to put our trust. I personally look at modern medicine, the apparent culmination of human knowledge, and I see a complete lack of progress. The smartphone has been improved more in 10 years than health and wellness has for the middle class in the modern era. The funding for cancer research is never ending, but the advancements never come. People are still forced to deal with a roll of the radioactive dice, just hoping that the poison we call chemotherapy will kill the cancer before it kills the host. That is unacceptable. In the greatest age of human advancement and progress, nutrition and medicine have come to a screeching halt. I wonder why that is. If you're a machine, it's been a great decade to be alive, but man, not so much. I know I wouldn't put it past this multifaceted pharmaceutical authority to hide vital discoveries about the human immune system, and I wouldn't put it past them to go to the greatest lengths to contain that information. Because keeping people sick means easy profits for the nefarious billionaires and easy control for big government. It's like killing 6.5 billion birds with one stone, as far as they're concerned. So we have to take responsibility for our own knowledge and our own health, because nobody's interested in filling you in. But today here, we're going to try to do a little bit to counteract that. I mean, David Noakes is intimately linked with this saga, and he has suffered for it. Not only personally and financially, but him and his colleagues have been victims of several big media hit pieces and a constant reminder from the power pyramid that there's nothing to see here. Well, I disagree with that, so let's do the damn thing and dive into GC Math, Nogales, Big Pharma, depopulation, vaccines, personal health, and other things I think we need to shine the spotlight on with our guest today, David Noakes.
Have a drink and a smoke. Listen to the cast. We shine a shiny spotlight. Put criminals on blast. The pinstripe men of mourning and families of finance. DuPont, Windsor, and Rothschild. The kids don't stand a chance. The kids don't stand a chance. I said the kids don't stand a chance.
All right, guys, we know one of the biggest tools the shadowy elite use against the people is Big Pharma and their medical mafia, replacing plant-based medicines with chemicals, suppressing and destroying information about medical advancements that get in the way of their power pyramid profits, and many would even go so far as to say their agenda is to actively make people sicker and limit their options to expensive, drawn-out treatments that do more to extract money than fix real medical issues. It's one of the biggest problems in the modern world, and today's guest, David Noakes, understands that all too well on a very personal level. He's the CEO of Immunobiotech, where he's felt the full wrath and fury of the New World Order on both the company and himself, and has had several medical colleagues die suspiciously for discussing the very things we're going to talk about today. David, my man, welcome to THC.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on board.
Yeah, man, I'm very excited to have you here. I feel like I've been learning a lot combing through your work and the resistance you've put up to the medical machine. And I think if we're going to do this right, we have to lay a base explaining to people what they've been denied. And that's the information about GCMAF. Tell us about this particular protein.
Okay, well, GCMAF is a human protein. It's a human body part and a human right. We all make it if we're healthy. But disease can block its production. So there are, although 5 billion healthy people have GC-MeF inside them, there are about a billion who can't make it because the disease blocks it. It treats 50 diseases that we know of successfully, including terminal stage 4 cancer. It was discovered 25 years ago, and since then, 200 scientists have written scientific research papers on it, so it's quite a well-understood molecule. Mm-hmm. And we've supplied 9,000 people through about 350 doctors, so it's got quite a good basis in the scientific and medical worlds.
Right on. So this is something that the body does produce naturally, but also you've been able to, synthesize it or extract it and also provide it as a medicine?
Yes, we extract it and we supply it as a protein. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And tell us about the body's production of it. Where does this happen? Is there a limited supply?
Well, GC protein, which is also called vitamin D binding protein, is about 3% of our blood, and it's made in the liver. A billionth of a gram of your GC protein is converted into GC-MeF in your body. And what actually happens is a T cell from the immune system comes along, takes one sugar off a GC protein molecule, and then a T cell comes along, so you've got a B and a T cell, takes off another sugar molecule, and the remaining molecule is then a GC-MeF molecule with only one remaining sugar molecule attached to it. So that's how the body makes it. And of course, a billionth of a gram is a tiny amount, but it has a massive effect on the body, and the immune system doesn't work without it.
This was discovered 25 years ago. Who discovered it? And I mean, there has to be indications that there's been some kind of marginalization or quarantine around this information, because it seems to be something that spits right in the face of the big pharmaceuticals.
Yes, they don't like it at all. There were a number of scientists working on something called CSF1 in the 1980s. And in 1990, Dr. Yamamoto, PhD, renamed it GC-MeF. And since then, there have been 200 scientists involved. So it's been concealed from the public for 25 years by the medical and pharmaceutical industries.
Right. So what does GC-MeF look like under the microscope? Have you watched it actually go toe-to-toe with diseases and fight illness?
Well, the nearest thing we've done to that is extracting GC-MeF is a 22-step process. It's very, very easy to get wrong. So unless it's tested, you have no idea that you actually made GC-MeF at the end of it. We actually put our batches through 9 tests. And the first two are sterility, but the last three are activity. Because the last two are the most interesting. We take human breast cancer cells and put them in a petri dish. We then add human immune system macrophages. Absolutely nothing happens. We then add the latest batch of GC-MeF. And that activates the macrophages. And in 3 days, the macrophages eat all the cancer cells. And we published that in in a video, which we put on YouTube. We got 5,000 hits in the first year. Yeah. Gwen Stefani sang my favorite rock song at the same time, It's My Life. She got 2 million hits. So the final experiment we do is exactly the same experiment, but we forget to add the macrophages. So we have human breast cancer cells in a petri dish. Nothing happens. We add the GC-MeF, and now the cancer cells cannot be eaten because there are no macrophages there. So the GC-MeF turns the cancer cells back into normal, healthy cells. And again, it takes 3 days. And again, we put it on YouTube. And we got even less hits on that. I think we got about 1,000.
Wow, man. So a 22-step process. Are you extracting this from healthy people who are producing a lot of it?
No. We actually make 1,000 times as much as is normally there. So there's a fairly limitless supply, in other words.
Right on. So where does Nogales come into the picture? Because this is the flip side of the coin, if I understand correctly.
Right. So if you get weak, you know, your house gets repossessed or you get pneumonia or something goes wrong, that gives disease a chance to grow and take a hold. And if it grows enough, that disease can send out the enzyme Nagalase, which blocks production of your body's GCMF. And, you know, so Nagalase is basically all bad. You don't want any of that.
Gotcha. So this sounds like an incredibly important medical discovery. I am a little curious, do we come in contact with Nagalase any other way besides something that viruses produce in the body?
That's the only place that we know of it. I mean, there are a number of diseases which are very clever things. They know that in order to enter the body, they have to destroy your body's defenses. And the defense they destroy is your GCMF. And, you know, there are a billion people in the world who just can't make GCMF because they've got too much Nagalase in their body.
Fascinating, man. And so if they had the GCMF, that would be a complete Nagalase inhibitor. That would keep it from taking root in the body at all.
Yes. GCMF will prevent the production of Nagalase. And that is why the diseases have to wait until your body becomes weak. Because if your GCMF is strong, it will defeat the Nagalase.
Wow, yeah. So GCMF sounds like the holy grail here, like the true engine of the immune system. It's surprising that this was kept quiet for so long, but I guess one criticism that comes up in these situations where we're given new medical information and something is being sold and it sounds a bit like a miracle cure, it works on so many things. Critics say the body is too complex and there just aren't any miracle cures. I'm sure you've faced those types of criticisms before, but how do you typically respond to that?
Well, you know, GCMF is a natural protein which helps the body cure itself. It's as simple as that. It has no side effects. It is the king of immunotherapies.
And are there ways we can increase our GCMF production naturally in the body? If it is a natural thing, how can we make sure we have enough of it to not get diseases?
Well, if you're healthy, your GCMF will be healthy. So you've just got to live a healthy lifestyle. You know, don't eat too much sugar because that causes a number of diseases. In fact, cancer only eats sugar. And there are a lot of diseases that depend on sugar to exist. You know, tobacco is not the big problem here. Cancer does not eat tobacco. It does eat sugar.
Wow. Yeah, I'd heard people say that too. I wondered exactly how much truth there was to it. Also, I've heard if you keep your body in an alkaline state, that too will make an environment where cancer can't really survive.
That's right. There are over a dozen ways of curing cancer, and that is one of them. And normally, if you're not using GCMF, you've got to put five or six of them together to succeed. But GCMF has 20 brilliant actions in the body. Two everyone knew. You know, it rebuilds the immune system and it activates macrophages. But we've published 32 research papers. Of the 120 research papers published on GCMF, embarrassingly large, 32 of them are ours. And when we saw those experiments where we test for the activity and we could see the cancer being eaten and the cancer tumors being turned back into healthy cells, we then realized more was happening than just those two things. And we then did experiments where we found that GCMF inhibits angiogenesis, that is to say, it stops the blood supply to tumors. It causes apoptosis, suicide of cancer cells. It reverts the cancer cell phenotype to normal cells. That's where it turns cancer cells into healthy cells. And it reduces the metastatic potential of human cancer cells. So that is to say, it stops secondaries. But it also does a few other things unrelated to cancer. It increases energy production at the mitochondrial level, which is relevant for ME/CFS and also for autism. It improves human neuronal metabolic activity through CAMP signaling, which is relevant for autism, MECF, CFS, multiple sclerosis, and ALS. It counters toxic effects, including cadmium, and it abolishes neuropathic pain due to neurooxidative stress. So there are 11 things we've already published that that GCMF does.
Wow, man. It seems like, yeah, it's a real seriously important protein that hasn't been talked about a whole lot. And you mentioned having a healthy diet. What is eating healthy? Of course, no sugars, but what does that mean to you? Because we hear so many different ideas of what eating right really is. And unfortunately, we don't get any real education about that growing up with all the hours we put in. Do you subscribe to a vegetarian diet? Do you think meat is important? What's a good diet in your eyes?
Well, firstly, food is your medicine and medicine is your food. You know, it really is. It's far more important than drugs.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to cure yourself of a disease, food is far more important than any drug that's ever been made. And in fact, if you get your food right, you won't catch any disease at all. But we have found with all our patients except autism, they pretty well all have low levels of vitamin D. So we always recommend 10,000 IU of vitamin D a day.
Mm.
Don't eat sugar. Don't eat carbohydrates because carbohydrates turn into sugar in your body. And eat meat, fish, and vegetables, salads, eggs, proteins. That's the perfect diet. And of course, 10,000 years ago, that is the diet we used to eat, the caveman diet. We invented farming 10,000 years ago. There was no cancer at all before farming. Farming brought it on. As the first cancers found in bones thousands of years old was 10,000 years ago when farming started. And then 150 years ago, when we started eating sugar, the amount of cancer shot up again. And then when we started using frequencies in our houses, like telephone base stations and telephones against our ears and all those sort of things, then it took another The curve of cancer took another curve upwards. So that's what causes cancer.
Right, yeah. There's so many poisons in our society currently. I definitely think the cell phone thing has some legitimacy. It's sad, though, because I use it constantly, and I'm in a bit of a denial about the fact that it might be harming me in a pretty serious way. But you mentioned vitamin D being important here, and vitamin D binding protein is what makes GCMF. Does sunlight help at all?
Yes, you need sunlight. And, you know, all these scare stories about melanoma, which I have to say GCMF cures pretty easily, you know, you shouldn't listen to them. We need sunlight because mm-hmm. that's where our vitamin D comes from.
Right, yeah, very important. I've also heard some researchers equate being held in a cubicle 5 days a week during the whole duration of sunlight hours is almost like poisoning us because our health relies on that connection so much. I've also been told sitting under fluorescent lights all day isn't great for our body either.
Well, you may well be right, although I have to say I know nothing about that, so I'm not really qualified to comment.
Sure, fair, man. Yeah, neither am I. I'm just talking about things I read online. But let me ask you to elaborate perhaps on Big Pharma's suppression of this information for the last 2.5 decades. Seems like such a disservice to humanity. How have they kept this information from circulating for so long?
Well, the only place it's been published over the last 25 years is in scientific research papers. All of those are peer-reviewed and published in the world's top scientific journals. And the 32 research papers that we've written are just the same, peer-reviewed and published in the world's top scientific journals. And that's where it stops. Never gets any further. Doesn't get published in the newspapers. Doesn't get anywhere. And that's how they control it. They keep it out of the mainstream media.
Yeah, that does make sense. I suppose that's all you need. It's something we've seen before. If you have a gatekeeper in place, an editor in the case of the major news outlets, you really can keep this stuff from ever reaching the mainstream, whether it's what we're talking about here with the medical advancements that would be very empowering to people and undermine their profits,
or any of the crimes of the elite. So many people in the mainstream just assume if half these conspiracies were true, it would get taken care of and they'd be hauled off to jail.
It's difficult to call them to haul them off to jail because they control the people who would be hauling them off to jail.
Exactly. And they control the news media that gives the people the story of the week to be outraged about.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you want the truth, if you want to examine the evidence for those crimes or the things they're covering up, you got to dig a little deeper, which is what we like to do. So maybe you can tell us how some of these things we're talking about apply to what happened with you guys.
I mean, what happened with us is we were basically shut down by Britain's MHRA, which is Britain's equivalent of the Food and Drug Administration in the USA. Now, in both countries, big pharma directors sit on the board of the FDA and the MHRA, and they do big pharma's bidding. And the job of the MHRA is to find new discoveries like GCMAF and get it to the NHS and the British people as quickly as possible. What they actually do is protect the profits of the big pharmaceutical companies by licensing drugs that kill and closing down any inexpensive treatments that work as fast as possible. So, you know, they are a body, the MHRA, that just simply abuses their position. And if you go to the website mhracorrupt.st, you'll see that 10 British public bodies have written reports stating that the MHRA is corrupt. And Jeremy Hunt, who's the health minister, has done absolutely nothing about it. He just lets them carry on. And that particular website, mhracorrupt.st, has a calculation where they estimate that the MHRA kill something in the order of 200,000 people a year. By giving them drugs that kill and denying them access to inexpensive treatments that work.
Yeah, of course, we see that over here, too. It's just sucks so bad. It's so frustrating because we only have a couple regulatory agencies that do this kind of stuff that are overseeing the medical community. They're in bed with the big pharmaceuticals. We can't get good information. I mean, one of my best friends took Accutane in high school for acne and now has come down with Crohn's disease. And the links are extremely well known. I mean, there's been class action lawsuits as well. But I mean, how can a guy like that ever trust the FDA again? You know, here's the one agency that's supposed to tell him what's safe to put in his body. He does it. Now he has a illness, a pain that's going to exist for the rest of his life. I mean, it's so frustrating to have nowhere to go for good, solid scientific information.
Well, both those agencies do the exact opposite of what they are entrusted to do. And the directors of both of them should already be in jail for genocide.
Yeah, I definitely look at it the same way. And as someone in the mainstream, they would be so shocked to hear that. But it's very much true. And it's sad also because we do have, on the flip side, in a capitalistic society, snake oil salesmen out there that do need to be regulated, that are just trying to make a buck selling sugar pills and whatnot. But it just is unfortunate that the people who are doing that have already been corrupted and are already on the team of the people who are basically making us sicker on a global scale.
Well, of course, the MHRA and the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies are the real snake oil salesmen. They make $1 trillion a year out of selling drugs that kill. And it is appalling that the drugs industry, the pharmaceuticals, control their own regulation because they control the FDA and the MHRA that license them. And government is corrupt. You know, 95% of crime is committed by government. The British and American governments invaded Iraq on the basis of lies about weapons of mass destruction that we all knew didn't exist. And 1.5 million people are now dead. The other side effect of that, of course, is that they created ISIS. Tony Blair and George Bush created ISIS, mm-hmm. which was born out of the power vacuum that they created. And now, of course, ISIS is killing thousands in Syria. We have all these boat people in the Mediterranean dying simply because of the corruption of Tony Blair and George Bush. So, and then the next largest piece of corruption in by government in Europe is that the nation of Britain was abolished illegally by the Lisbon Treaty on the 1st of January 2009. 3,500-year-old nation completely gone. It's now part of the EU dictatorship. And under our British treason laws, the politicians involved with that, including Her Majesty the Queen that signed it, should all have hung by the neck until dead. That's what the law says. And yet they're all smiling and doing what they normally do. They've got away with murder in Iraq and treason in England. So that is pretty appalling. You know, the political world is stunningly corrupt.
Right.
But the pharmaceutical medical world, the MHRA and the FDA, between them, kill about 1 million a year. Now, that is more than the US Army kills. And people keep telling me the FDA is a more efficient killing machine than the US Army. And they are absolutely right.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it makes a lot of sense. And so you've treated 9,000 people in 80 nations. You've supplied them with GCMAF. What kind of success rate have you seen with that, with those 9,000?
Well, we make everyone faithfully promise that they will give us feedback, and yet we only get feedback from about 30%, which is actually quite a high number. Actually, the bulk of it goes out to doctors and clinics. Yes, they all promise they're going to give us feedback, and they don't give us any at all. So that leaves the 3,500 people we supply direct. And we have 1,100 results from those people. And, for example, 600 of them are cancer, and 3/4 of those are improving instead of declining. Because normally with cancer, you just decline. So to have 3/4 improving is really brilliant. We had a clinic in Lausanne in Switzerland, brutally shut down by the local procurator, Eric Mermoud. He burst in the morning with 8 police, interrogated our 4 female staff, 2 doctors, 2 nurses, for 10 hours. None of them have been able to work since. They're so traumatized. Closed the clinic, closed the company. But in that clinic, we were taking terminal stage 4 cancer patients and sending 70% home with tumor reductions, averaging 25% in a week or two, and recovering instead of dying. And, of course, that's criminal in the pharmaceutical world. You're not allowed to save lives. So our clinic is closed, and we had 2 other clinics, and the staff in those clinics were so horrified at how badly our staff had been treated in the Lausanne clinic that they voluntarily closed themselves down. And there was nothing we could do about it. They just insisted. So we lost 3 clinics, but you know, there are probably about 100 GCMAF clinics out there now, so it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, but that's still a bummer to see the system fight progress like this. And from what I understand, where your clinic was, now they've got laws in place banning the production of GCMAF. I'm curious if that trend is spreading at all. You say there's about 100 clinics out there supplying it. I assume these are in places where they haven't outlawed the manufacturing of it yet?
Well, no, we supply these 100 clinics. I mean, we are probably the only people in the world making genuine GCMAF. It is very, very difficult to get right. There was a Californian company making very good tested GCMAF. We had it tested ourselves, and it was absolutely superb. And that's the only, and they, of course, were shut down by the FDA, who charged in, as they always do, only 2 of them instead of 10, as there is in Europe every time, and said, if you continue making GCMAF, we'll put you in jail. And of course, that would have been a court case. It would have been $100,000 to start the court case. And of course, if an American prosecutor decides he's going to have you, you know, even if you have millions of pounds, which you're going to need to defend yourself, he will have you. There's no justice left in the USA anymore.
You're telling me. So has anyone ever had adverse effects? Anyone who's on GCMF or is anyone receiving treatments ever died?
No one has ever died of GCMF. Of course, that's not really possible anyway, because 5 billion people, healthy people, have got GCMF inside them. If it was going to kill them, it would be killing millions and millions every year because billions have got it inside them. So no one has. And none of our patients have ever died of GCMF. I mean, some of our patients have died of terminal stage 4 cancer, people who arrived in Busoni. We like them to arrive with 3 months to live because we don't like them dying on Swiss soil. Well, some of them didn't quite tell us the truth and turned up with a week or two to live. Well, 60% of those we sent home recovering, and the others did die. But then, of course, all of them should have died. They're all terminal stage 4 cancer. And to save 70% of terminal stage 4 cancer patients is a fabulous result.
Absolutely. And, of course, cancer is a huge one, but you mentioned it, 49 other diseases that you know about. Can you give us some of the other big ones that people would be familiar with that this seems to counteract?
Well, Crohn's, colitis, and acne. There's three right there. So your chap who's got the Crohn's as a result of the drug he was given.
Yeah.
GCMF would sort him out with both of those.
Good to know. So besides having the clinic shut down, which is obviously a huge blow, have you faced other restrictions or suppression since then?
Well, they closed down all our bank accounts, business and personal, and left me absolutely penniless. I couldn't even buy a cup of coffee. Mm. So our company, Immunobiotech, is not trading at all. It's just sat there doing absolutely nothing. And as a result, it's our distributors. They are carrying on distributing our GCMF. So I can run through a bit of a list if you like.
Absolutely, yeah. What else does GCMF help with?
Allergies, anaphylactic shock, asthma, autism, autoimmune diseases, chronic fatigue syndrome, cystitis. Have a bit of success with dementia. Brilliant with depression, Dubuton's contractions, hives, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammation. We're having a bit of success with Lyme disease now. Lyme disease is like AIDS. The viruses can cover themselves with biofilms, but by using biofilm busters like bromelain and papain, we are having a bit of success with Lyme now. Not one of the easy ones. Bit of success with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's, periodontal disease, well, all diseases of the mouth, it's brilliant with those, psoriasis, sinusitis, and that's the end of the list I've got here.
So when you made this, is this just in like a pill form?
We make GCMF and we make an improved GCMF in a dropper form. And in the dropper form, you can inhale it through a nebulizer, and you can also use it as suppositories. It's more robust than the original GCMF. So, yeah, you can do more things with it. There are more ways of getting it into the body. You can't eat GCMF because it gets into the stomach, and it's destroyed by the acids in the stomach. So the only place where you can use eaten GCMF to do you any good is the mouth. So if you've got any disease of the mouth, be it cancer or gingivitis or periodontal disease, it's brilliant just to drop it in the mouth. Keep it there for as long as you can.
Wow. It sounds pretty amazing, man. I know also we mentioned that the media and Big Pharma are in bed together. You have experienced, since this time of your clinic being shut down, some media hit pieces as well, haven't you?
Well, yes. If you go to pharmamurders.com, listed there are some of the third-party organizations that the big pharmaceutical companies pay to create disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when, for example, Dr. Andrew Wakefield wrote a paper stating that MMR causes autism, which it does, we know for a fact it does. I mean, half of our autistic mums, when they filled out their forms, stated that the autism came on within a couple of weeks of the MMR jab.
Huh.
And we didn't even ask that question. So, I mean, we know for a fact that the MMR jab causes autism. Anyway, as soon as he published that paper, a plethora of news people, websites, journalists, and scientists publish stuff to state the complete opposite. And they are all paid disinformation specialists. And Dr. Andrew Wakefield was struck off by the British General Medical Council, who are completely controlled by the big pharmaceutical companies. And in fact, British doctors dare not prescribe anything other than big pharma drugs, or they will be struck off by the British General Medical Council. And we know a number of doctors who've been struck off because they tried other things. I mean, GCMAF is not actually alternative, it's mainstream. But if a doctor supplies it, he'll get struck off. So, you know, you get very big pharma disinformation organizations, and you get single people acting as well. So the biggest is probably in England, Cancer Research UK, a much-loved charity. But it has big pharma directors on its board, and its job is to rubbish any good treatment and turn everyone to chemotherapy. And that way, Cancer Research UK must surely have killed scores of thousands of people. And they even had a web page on their website with a pack of lies about GCMAF. There were 10 things on it, and the two that really stuck out for me was, it's unlikely that one treatment would cure so many diseases. No. Vitamin D cures 90 diseases on its own. Just vitamin D is a superb vitamin. You know, there are 6,000 diseases that we know of, so killing 90 of them is pretty good for one vitamin.
Right.
Then they also said it all depends on one scientist. Well, that is an absolute lie. There are 200 scientists who have written research papers on GCMAF. So Cancer Research UK really is a body that kills. And that's one of the big ones. And then you get individuals who write rubbish for newspapers. They rubbish GCMAF, disinformation about GCMAF, send it off to newspapers. So, you know, there is a pretty big pharma disinformation third-party media outlet, and they must pay them many, many millions. And don't forget that given that just chemotherapy makes $200 billion a year, they can easily afford to pay them as much as $1 billion. And not miss it.
Right. So would there be benefits for people to take GCMAF who don't have a disease? Does it help with just general health or energy or sleeping better or those kind of things?
Yes, it did all of that for me. And I had 8 minor diseases that I wasn't trying to cure, but it cured them anyway.
Huh.
You know, I had Dubuton's contractions. I had periodontal disease. I'd have to go look at them all. But fibromyalgia, effectively pain in my back for years, that went. And, you know, I'd had the athlete's foot for 40 years, taken every cream and powder possible, went completely. So yes, you can take it as a preventative measure.
That's amazing. I'm curious, how many treatments did it take for you to start noticing these effects?
Well, I'm not a very observant bloke, actually.
Me either.
So I really can't tell you, but I suppose 6 weeks. All of those were gone in 6 weeks. I had hay fever. That went in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Carry it all my life.
Man, and I'm kind of the same. I have bad allergies, so I'm curious about this kind of thing too. Nothing I've ever taken has really done it. So you mentioned that people can purchase GCMAF today in over 100 clinics. How would you get people to that GCMAF stream? What's the easiest way?
You go to our to our website, which is immunobiotech.eu. And it's also ibio.pt for short. And then we put them in touch with the with our original distributors who are still supplying it.
Right on. You mentioned it was difficult with a 22-step process. Is it also fairly expensive?
No, I wouldn't say it's horrifically expensive. It's just that, you know, it is very difficult. So, yeah.
Okay. Of course, another side of the story, like you mentioned, is the dead doctors. And the violent suppression of this information does seem to be something that's on the radar of several conspiracy websites. They're starting to give it more attention. Some are saying as many as 13 or more. Is this a part of the story that you followed and could talk to us a bit about?
Well, as we understand it, 14 doctors have now been assassinated. Mm. And, you know, the first was my very good dear friend, Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet, who was a pastor and is as honest as the day is long. And he called me up on May 2011 and said, I want to use your GCMF for autism. I said, it won't work. Autism isn't a viral disease. And he said, well, I think it will. So I sent him some. And 8 weeks later, he called me back and said he had some children who were no longer autistic. And back in those days, it turned out that 85% of autistic children showed some benefit, no matter how small, but 15% of them became autism-free. And then with the improved GCMF, we took that up to 25%, and now in the clinics, the last thing that Dr. Bradstreet discovered, because he was the one driving these improvements, you know, we're treating a lot of diseases and we weren't particularly paying all that much attention to autism. So he was the guy that worked all this out. It wasn't us. And by breathing in GCMF2 and with a nebulizer and then using an ultrasound machine, that's what you scan your baby with, putting an ultrasound probe on the side of the head, that opens up the blood-brain barrier. He was, and so are we, managing to lose the symptoms of autism for 60% of autistic children.
Jeez.
And we jointly wrote a second research paper. We've written two research papers together, Dr. Bradstreet and us. And we also found the point in the human brain where autism resides. It's a piece of the brain which is 3.4 millimeters thick in autistic kids and 1 millimeter thick in everyone else. So for the first time, there's now actually a way of diagnosing autism.
Interesting. And is this something, like, do people have to keep taking GCMF, or is this something you take it for a while and then it jumpstarts your natural production of the protein? If they were to stop taking it, would symptoms of something like autism come back?
Well, that is always the goal. You want to take GCMF until your body's own production of GCMF has restarted, and then you don't need ours anymore. But that's not always the case. We had two children with LMBBS, which is a genetic disease, fairly rare. 300 people have got it in England, perhaps 1,500 in the USA. And it's very similar to chronic fatigue syndrome in that you can't hold a job down. You go to bed, you feel like death. But on top of that, you go blind at the age of 25. You lose kidney function at the age of 40. And you also become three times the size of a normal person. So it's a horrible disease to have, and these two children basically lying on their beds, no hope, just waiting for life to get worse. And they took GCMF. In 2 months, they got themselves places in higher education, got themselves jobs, their lives completely back to normal, and their macular degeneration being reversed slowly. But completely normal lives with energy, completely normal. And we went to the LMBBS Society in England, said we'd like to present this at their next annual meeting. And they told us we would never be welcome there and we would never present our ideas. So we went to Professor Philip Beale, who's the LMBBS professor for England at University College of London. eight of us had a meeting around the table, his scientists and our four scientists, and he agreed that he would grow LMBBS mice and then test GCMF on them. And a little later, we went to the Institut Pasteur in Paris for a ciliopathy conference. LMBBS is the worst of the ciliopathies. And the father of these two children, who is a scientist himself, presented a paper on how GCMF had cured his two children of LMBBS. I mean, they won't be cured. They'll have to take it all their lives, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Although GCMF2 has turned off the HER2 oncogene, so maybe it'll turn this gene off. We really don't know. But anyway, he and I went to the conference, and after the first day, Philip Beals came over with two policemen and threw me out the conference, Professor Philip Beals. Before I was thrown out, I asked him, did you ever grow those LMBBS mice? No, he never had. He never tried GCMF, although we gave him some. And of course, all these scientists, a couple of hundred of them at this conference, are scared stiff they're going to lose their funding if a cure is found for cilia diseases, and in particularly for LMBBS. So, you know, all of these medical people are protecting their positions. So if you've got an oncologist, he, of course, knows chemotherapy like the back of his hand. He spent 10 years studying it. And the last thing he wants is for GCMF to come along, replace chemotherapy, and then his 10 years study is lost and wasted, and he becomes the most useless person in the hospital. So all of these people have a vested interest in keeping their existing careers going and making sure that GCMF goes nowhere.
Right. Yeah, we have such a system set up in place that everybody is individually responsible for their bills. No one's going to help them out there. So preserving your revenue stream, even if you know it is probably to the detriment of humanity, is hard to go against. It takes a lot of strength and moral courage to go against that, because when the mortgage comes due, no one's really going to be there to help you out.
That's correct. Most people see GCMF, most medics and pharmaceutical people see GCMF as a threat to their income stream. And that's why they fight it tooth and nail.
It's so unfortunate. So I'm kind of curious about the links with autism. I mean, if GCMF is able to treat autism, what does that say about autism itself? Does that say that it is a viral disease?
Yes, it's a viral disease. Yep.
Wow. I think that's pretty off the radar for most people. I don't know what it necessarily is considered, just a mental condition that doesn't go away, but that's interesting.
It does go away. It does go away.
Well,
I mean, if you give me 10 people and we put them in a clinic, six of them will go home without it.
Man, it's mind blowing.
Yep.
So GCMF helps with autism. The MRR vaccine causes autism. Is that an unfortunate side effect, or is the autism virus part of the vaccine? Is it in there?
There are a lot of bad substances in vaccines. There's talk now that vaccines may contain nagalase, but most vaccines contain mercury. Most, pretty well every vaccine contains a virus of some kind or another, and some of these viruses enter the human body and cause autism.
So you would say there's no chance you would recommend vaccinations for a kid being born in today's world?
Absolutely not.
Or is it just that one?
No, I wouldn't recommend any. You know, pretty well all of them have got mercury. They've all got viruses in them. They're all dangerous. But they do have a fabulous revenue stream that is measured in billions. And that is why the pharmaceutical industry will lie, cheat, and steal to keep these vaccines in place.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Jeff Bradstreet's situation, some people writing about this in the mainstream, if listeners were to go and do their own research, they'd see some major media articles that have cited the raid that came on his clinic and what he was doing, they've cited that raid as the catalyst to send him over the edge to suicide. But it's easy to also see how this would just be taking things a step further than a raid for the medical community, you know, making sure he isn't a problem for Big Pharma anymore. Can you tell us about the details surrounding his death that let us know that this wasn't a suicide, that there was some foul play involved?
Well, firstly, 14 doctors have now died the day after the FDA raid. That's too big a coincidence. Clearly, the FDA is either paying the assassin or telling Big Pharma when they're going to raid so they can pay the assassin. Mm. But Jeff Bradstreet was a gentle, relaxed, big, kind man who is never going to be ruffled by one raid. And don't forget, he's been controversial for at least 10 years because he's been far too successful for over 10 years. So he's been threatened many times before. And one more threat is not going to make him change his views. Mm-hmm. And he's a very, very stable, sensible man with a brilliant mind. I mean, he really understood the biology behind autism like no one else at any conference or lecture I've ever been to. We threw the first three GCMF immunology conferences, and Jeff Bradstreet spoke at them. And, you know, his understanding of autism and human biology was astounding.
Man, so 14 doctors died the day after their facilities were raided?
By the FDA, yes.
Wow.
And in Jeffrey Bradstreet, his murder was very slovenly arranged. You know, the local priest said he shot himself in the chest with a rifle. Well, it's pretty difficult to do. And then he had to get himself down to the river and throw himself in after he was dead. So it was a deliberately clumsy murder.
Hmm.
Because the big pharma, the message from the big pharma industry is, look, we can be careless and still get away with it.
Right.
We can be corrupt. We can kill. We can do what we like. So you better toe the line. That was the message they were getting out with those murders.
Right. Like they left it sloppy on purpose to send a message to the larger medical community looking into this stuff.
That's correct. Mm. But of course, the USA is only one country. There's still 78 other countries that are using GCMF. So when they, even if they did succeed in closing the USA down, it's still going to be going everywhere else. And don't forget, 5 billion people, including them, you and me, are making it right now in our own bodies.
Right. That's true. That's hopeful. And it's so sad to hear about Jeff Bradstreet. Is there anything you can tell us about the other doctors who have died? Many of them are concentrated in Florida, right?
That's correct, yeah. I think what happened there is some local FDA officer or some local big pharma man made a decision that only affected Florida. In other words, it wasn't right at the top of the big pharma or FDA chain. It was a local decision.
Mm. And have you worried about your own safety or had any brushes with danger in this saga?
If you think about that, you don't do anything at all in life. And it's important to live life to the full and do as much as you can, whatever the risks.
Respectable, man. I know it can't be easy. You're going up against the machine. You're dealing with the crushing authority of the regulatory agencies. You're dealing with the propaganda arm of the mainstream media. You have colleagues and friends getting taken out around you. And also half the people you're trying to help are still trusting the system, adding even more frustration. I just have a ton of respect for what you're doing, man. That cannot be easy. And that kind of does it for us. I mean, is there any other info about GCMAF or Nogales that you'd like to leave the people with before we go?
Well, the important thing to remember is that GCMAF is the best way of treating cancer and 50 other diseases yet known to man. And governments, big pharmaceuticals, and laws are preventing you from having the best treatment yet known, treatment with no side effects. GCMF has no side effects. It's something your body makes. It's a human right, and that human right is being denied to you.
Well said. And before we go, is there a place where people can keep up with you and follow the things that you're working on?
Well, not really. I mean, just keep an eye on our websites, really. GCMF.eu is the scientific site where the papers are published. And our website, as you know, is immunobiotech.eu or ibio.pt for short.
Right on. Very awesome. Well, thanks again so much for sharing this info with the people. I am sorry for the things you've had to go through and the colleagues and friends you've lost. This is very compelling information, of course, needs to get out to the people. So thanks for what you're doing, man, and keep fighting the good fight. Take care of yourself out there.
Thank you very much, Greg. It's been great being on your show.
There we have it, guys. I hope you found that interesting. I definitely did. I know David is focused heavily on producing GCMAF as a medicine, as a way to reduce and reverse the effects of many different illnesses and conditions people are suffering from, and that is a completely noble goal. But for me, the takeaway is more about reiterating the importance of eating right and the fact that nutrition and food really are our fuel for life. And if you run on contaminated fuel, expect to have some problems. And of course, everyone knows we need to eat better, but I find it very difficult to do. Maybe it's my laziness. I thought I was going to get out of a 40-hour-a-week job and everything was just going to fall into place. Well, if I'm not stopping at a gas station before work or drinking a soda on my lunch break, it'll be easier to get it out of my life. But now, I just call Pizza Hut for my sustenance and have them deliver, so I don't have to leave my little cage here. It's embarrassing. But even something as simple as hearing about GCMAF and Nagalase in this relationship, it does help to make me feel like I'm leaving myself open for diseases, and I should stop doing that. I'm sure a lot of us should. It's also hard to know what that means exactly, what eating right really means. We have guests here who come on the show and they talk about going vegetarian. And when a guest goes there, I tend to sort of roll my eyes and just wait until we get to the next point because I'm not convinced that's the best diet for people. Yes, from a spiritual perspective, I understand we cause a lot of suffering, but I think there are choices between the disgusting and evil factory farming we have today and no meat eating whatsoever. There has to be something in the middle that we can be happy with. When I hear hunters talk about hunting, often to them it is a spiritual thing. It's a very reverent and respect for the earth oriented process. And maybe that's what we need to get back to. But to say it's not natural for us to eat meat, I mean, look at the example we have in nature. Look at cats. I consider them to be soft, cuddly, nice, happy animals, at least mine are. But lock them in a room with a mouse or a spider, and from that perspective, my cats are monsters, demons even. Slowly batting them around like a string, smashing them, letting them crawl, smashing them again. Death by cat isn't slow and isn't merciful. Are they evil? Are they reaping negative karma or defying Mother Earth, or is that just the way it is? Our views of what's natural are so distorted when we've never really lived in nature at all. We're looking at it through a window. You know, watch 3 episodes of Naked and Afraid and tell me you don't need meat. Whatever, to each their own. But I don't think anyone would argue it would be who of us to stop living on sugar and corn. And when we buy groceries, you know, I try to force my girlfriend to buy the good stuff or only to go to Whole Foods and she fights me because it's so expensive. But to me, this is what real food was 2 decades ago. Inflation is what makes it seem so expensive. The fact that they've made cheaper bullshit food to fill in the place of our old regular food is why it seems expensive. At least this is my theory. And what better thing to spend your money on? You want to cut spending on your health and nutrition so you have what? Enough left over for Netflix and the cell phone bill? I feel like you should spend all you can on the best food for you and your family and then use what you have left over for your entertainment and your bullshit distractions. And people with kids? Man, if you're giving your kids candy, if you're getting them used to the idea that fast food is okay, yikes. You should really look at that and make some important changes. Every time they eat bad food, you're reinforcing a pattern that might kill them. Be vigilant with those kids' eating habits and your own. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent. But of course, in the Plus show, we talked more about this GCMAF saga and branched out into talking about the EU in general a little bit and some other related topics. It's a good show. David was suggested to me by a listener who might want to remain anonymous, but thanks for that. Dude who's probably listening. I know we do get a lot of hearsay in the conspiracy world, so I'm glad I was introduced to someone who has actually been involved in something we wanted to talk about. We did have some connection problems, bad lag. I had to edit around it, but I think I spared you from most of it. It always annoys me to hear that left in podcasts. But in other news, I should say I made some big moves with conspiracies. Some people might not even know what that is because it's not uncommon for me to go a while without mentioning it. But my little conspiratorial t-shirt brand is called Conspiracies, and it had honestly been one of the most expensive and uphill aspects of what I've done. I went to local guys who were inconsistent or way too slow. I bought a bunch of equipment myself and took some classes and tried to do it. That was a horrible, horrible mistake. And I'm happy with what I've put out, but to get a new design done, I'd have to buy the shirts in bulk up front and store them here in my office and mail them out myself. It did become a bit of an issue, especially while I was in Armenia, and I was searching for a solution myself here when a guy who listens to the show and does exactly this type of thing contacted me, and he printed me some samples, and I wore them, I washed them, and I decided I'm now going to outsource Conspiracies to his fulfillment company. So now I just have to get art made, send it to them, and boom, I can put up a new design on the website. It's great. I'm really happy with the quality, and there are other benefits as well. People have been on my case for years now to offer more 2XLs and 3XLs. We're a big country, America, and now I can actually compensate for that. Now I can actually do that. Also, more colors and women's shirts will be coming super soon also. Another plus is that they have a facility in the UK, so we can get by with local shipping there and only half the cost of shipping to the rest of Europe, because America, we're way out there. So for me to ship these things around the world, it's pretty expensive and it really destroys profit, which is what America lives on, so we can't have it. But it is a good thing, and it frees me up for more show. I've spent way too much time dealing with conspiracies and daily runs to the post office, so I'm really excited. There are two new designs up there right now, actually. Most of you have seen the artwork on the Higher Side Chats grinders, and I think it's amazing. The guy who did it for me, his name is Shinro. He actually has a comic called Psy Ninja. That's pretty cool. But he made this art also, and the engraver said that it was way too complex, so we dumbed it down so it could work for the grinders, but the original design is now on a shirt. It's basically a THC twist on the Freemason Square and Compass with an archontic entity, and it says the Higher Side Chats, join the club. I'm a big fan of how it turned out. Also up there now is a design that I had made probably 2 years ago. I've been sitting on it for quite a long time. It is a blending of the two big moon landing conspiracies. Either we hoaxed it, or they saw aliens and haven't been back since. And so it's an image of a crumpled up Polaroid picture that shows the astronauts as cardboard cutouts on the moon and some UFOs flying around in the background. It really is one of my favorite designs, and I just couldn't find anyone who could get it right. Finally found the right artist, finally found the right printer, and now it's available. I also have another design that plays on the Illuminati using the three major religions as a weapon against the people. It's a revolver with religious symbols and nefarious tentacles coming out of it. I love that too. I'm going to probably have that up in the next 48 hours. So that's pretty big news for me. I'm a bit of a control freak, so letting go of my baby like that is a little hard to do. But it's much more efficient. Even though I make less money, it's fine. The show is the true focus, and as popularity has grown, and I try to answer all these emails, and I go on a show like Jericho, and go out of the country, and get DDoS attacked, I have dealt with some hurdles in the past month and a half. And it's not the end of the world, but it has tripped me up a little bit, cost me some money, cost me some time. I'm very close to being caught up again. I think it's going to take me 3 or 4 more days. I have some great shows already recorded. I have some great shows on the books to record, and I'm going to get ahead. I did get blasted pretty hard from my show last week. A lot of people didn't like it. I thought it was fine. I thought Marie was a great guest, but I do have a couple other great guests. I know it will more than make up for it. Should I tell you? I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. I don't like to ruin the surprise, but I will say black goo people. And black goo is all I'm going to say. We got the black goo guy. Anyway, you're all the best. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon. Your move, big pharmaceutical bandits. Your fucking move. Wow.
like to be a rainmaker. I wonder what it's like to know that I made the rain. I saw it in boxes with little yellow tags on everyone. And you can come and see. Like to be a superhero. I wonder where I go if I could fly around downtown, yeah. From some other planet, I get this funky high on the yellow sun. Boy, I bet my friends will all be. Honcho. I wonder what I'd do if they just did all what I said.